Was the image on the Shroud of Turin made by some form of radiation? And was the image of the man alive and moving while it was forming? That's what we're talking about today, and we're starting right now. For those of you who don't know, the Shroud of Turin is an ancient relic believed by many to be the burial cloth of Jesus described in the Gospels. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. And of course, the cloth resurfaces after the resurrection when Peter and John entered the tomb. So Simon Peter also came, following him, and he entered the tomb, and he looked at the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but folded up in a place by itself. So the other disciple, who had first come to the tomb, also entered then, and he saw and believed. This is a very interesting passage. It refers to two different cloths, a face cloth and the linen wrapping. It was upon seeing these things, the Apostle John believed Jesus was resurrected. There's something about these cloths that helped him believe. And later in this video, we will discuss what it may have been about these cloths that indicated a resurrection had taken place. For those of you who aren't aware, the Shroud of Turin is a linen cloth with two features that are immediately visible to the naked eye. First, it has the faint, full-scale image of a man with arms crossed over his waist, an image of the man's front and his back. Second, the cloth appears to contain numerous bloodstains. In 1898, an Italian photographer, Secundo Pia, made a startling discovery. While developing the first photographs taken of a shroud, he saw that his film's negative image was an anatomically perfect positive image of a man. Now, if the negative of the image is a positive, then the image itself must be a negative. A very interesting finding that we will explain later as well. Now, before we begin to analyze the new evidence as to whether or not this is the image of Jesus and whether he was moving at the time it was made, both astonishing pieces of information, let's discuss the old evidence first. You may have heard that radiocarbon dating proved the shroud was a medieval forgery. This data came out in 1998, and a major media blitz followed, supposedly debunking the shroud. The major theory at that time was it was a painted forgery by a medieval artist. However, it seems the choice of the samples taken for testing may have come from a medieval repair of the cloth rather than the image-bearing cloth itself. At least four scholarly articles have been published on this problem with the previous carbon-14 testing. One of the original experts who tested the shroud became aware of this problem. He retested the shroud and found the original results were in error. The sampled section was the worst possible section to study. Then in 2017, after a Freedom of Information Act request released all the data from the first test, it was discovered that additionally some of the data from the original test was withheld to doctor the results. Because of this, the original test must be discounted entirely. So if the radiocarbon test is invalid, is there any evidence for the age of the shroud? The most extensive battery of experiments was conducted by the Shroud of Turin Research Project. Back in 1978, the group of 24 experts and scientists included Christians, Jews, and atheists. The project issued a final report that was summarized this way, quote, "We can conclude for now that the shroud image is that of a real human form of a scourged, crucified man. It is not the product of an artist. The blood stains are composed of hemoglobin and also give a positive test for serum albumin. The image is an ongoing mystery, and until further chemical studies are made, perhaps by this group of scientists or perhaps by some scientists in the future, the problem remains unsolved." If you notice, their research proved that no pigments of any kind were added to the image area of the cloth. Thus, it was not a painted or drawn forgery. They concluded it was a photographic image of some sort, even though it was on a non-photosensitive medium, linen cloth. but how it formed, they were unsure. Later in this video, we'll discuss this because the ideas that are presented are simply amazing. Other tests were done. Images of flowers are seen on the shroud's image. It appears the body was covered with flowers as a sign of affection prior to burial. Botanist Avioam Danin of the Hebrew Institute of Jerusalem determined where the shroud originated based on a comprehensive analysis of the pollen taken from the shroud and the plant images associated with it. Much of the pollen is native only to the area around Jerusalem, and some are not still in existence, which dates the cloth to no later than AD 800. This combination of flowers can be found in only one region of the world, Danin stated. The evidence clearly points to a floral grouping from the area surrounding Jerusalem. Analysis of minute particles of limestone also found adhering to the shroud have been identified by Dr. Joseph Kolbeck as a rare form of travertine aragonite. This stone is also only found in Jerusalem, and it's the same as samples from ancient Jerusalem tombs taken by archaeologist Eugenia Nitkowski. So this places the shroud in Jerusalem in a tomb. Those who claim this is some kind of medieval forgery cannot explain these connections to Jerusalem. The blood on the shroud is human, and it happens to be blood type AB, which is rare in most places but common in Israel. And this blood is positioned exactly where the wounds of Jesus were, on his wrists, feet, and the side where the spear pierced him, and on his head where the crown of thorns was placed. In fact, the image shows this horrible crown was still in place when he was buried. Based on the image, it is a Sarcopetrium sinuosum, which is more commonly called the thorny burnet. Rather than being woven into a wreath, like the crown we usually see in paintings, it appears the Romans just took branches of this plant and forced it into a cap shape on his head. This is yet another reason that the shroud can't be a forgery, as medieval artists would have gone with the conventional picture of a wreath-like crown, not this cap of thorns that no one expected to see. There's dirt on the soles of the victim's feet, on his knees and nose, and the nose of the victim was broken. This seems to indicate the victim may have fallen prior to being crucified and broke and skinned the nose in the process. The victim, carrying a crossbeam, wouldn't have had his hands free to break the fall, so if he fell, his nose would take the brunt. We know that on the way to Calvary, Jesus began carrying his own cross. But sometime later, Simon of Cyrene was conscripted by the Romans to help Jesus carry it. Now, a fall or a collapse that could have broken the nose of the man on the image may have been what caused this man to require help. New carbon dating tests by scientists at the University of Padua in northern Italy used the same fibers from the 1988 test but got different findings. The new examination dates the shroud somewhere between 300 BC to 480, which would put it in the era of Christ. But the greatest evidence that this was the burial cloth of Jesus is the image itself and how it was created. First, the image is superficial. It lies just on the top of the microfibers, something we can't achieve even today with modern science. There was no bleed through, like you would expect with paints or dyes. In other words, the image didn't go down into the fibers like paint would or a dye. It stayed right on the very surface. Although the blood did bleed through the cloth with capillary action, the image itself was seared onto the cloth just at the top. Second, the image is a three-dimensional, almost hologram type formation. And there is no other image in the world like this. There are no 2D images in the world that carry 3D information. The darker areas of the image were closer to the cloth and the lighter areas further away. This captured the 3D information about the image. Scientists actually have used this 3D information and have even made a sculpture of the man in the image. Third, the image is a negative, not a positive. No one would paint a negative or backwards image in the 1300s. So for all these reasons, it cannot be a forgery. However, how did the image form? Scientists believe it was a burst, or as we will explain in a second, oscillating bursts of high intensity, single wavelength light, laser light. This is a technology we simply don't have today. Light can create the type of brownish image that exists on the shroud. Just put a newspaper in your window for 2 weeks and you will see it turn this type of yellow-brown. However, it will not form an image like that of the shroud. But the basic idea is the same. Light desiccates and oxidizes the outer layers of the paper or the fabric. But how did it produce an image? The answer is that the light came from inside the body of the man in the image, and it traveled in all directions in exact parallel lines. That's laser light, those exact parallel lines. Scientists have estimated the power to produce this type of image exceeds all the electrical power generated in the entire Earth at one time. It is only possible supernaturally. But this isn't the most amazing aspect of a shroud image. The International Institute for Advanced Studies of Space Representation scientists in Palermo, Italy, have presented research that the body of the man was in motion when the image was produced. Yes, you heard me right. The body appears to have been moving. Now we know that because the image isn't a single exposure, but a combination of multiple exposures. Sort of the way a strobe light photography can follow the path of a tennis ball or a golf swing. The image on the shroud shows various objects in motion, like the nails in the man's wrist and feet, the Teflon on his arms, and his belt buckle moving up and down with his breath. The Italian Institute's research shows that multiple exposures of these very easy to track items on the body of the man are present in different positions, showing that his hands and feet and his chest when he breathed were moving. Current theory is that the light that produced the image was oscillating, producing light in bursts, just like a strobe light would. This accounts for the multiple exposures, one with each burst of light, which in turn accounts for why certain areas of the shroud image are somewhat fuzzy. Movement would make those areas seem out of focus. Now, how could the body of a dead man be moving in the image? This was obviously a burial shroud. The eyes of the man are closed and covered with coins or buttons. So if this is Jesus and he is moving, it is the exact moment of the resurrection prior to him opening his eyes. Can you see why God might want to keep evidence such as that to share with the world? But where did the light come from? This is something that no one can answer other than Jesus himself. One theory is that it came from his DNA activating. It's an interesting theory. Studies from as far back as 1984 show that active DNA produces laser light, but of very low intensity. Now, the DNA of God might have quite a different intensity, like we said, greater than all the electricity on Earth. It is also thought that the body was levitating at the moment the image was being made. And as we know, the resurrection body of Jesus was able to pass through solid objects like the door of the upper room where the disciples were hiding. This could explain why John believed when he saw the burial cloth of Jesus. Had the body of Jesus actually passed directly through this cloth without it having even been opened? And was it lying unopened but empty in the tomb? Now, another theory is that John saw the image of his Lord on the cloth, the Shroud of Turin, the same image we're talking about today. Now, either theory could account for John's reaction. But you know what? I bet you're thinking, hey, wait a minute, Nelson. You've been going on and on. But what was that you said about nails, coins, and a belt buckle? And what's a Teflon? Are all these things on the image of the shroud? The answer is yes, they are. And a whole lot more. If this is the body of our Lord, which seems the only possible explanation, these details tell us a great deal about what he suffered, what he wore, etc. Click right here to keep watching to learn about all the items found on the body of the man on the image of the shroud and what they might tell us about Jesus and his life. This is Nelson, and I'll see you there.